this morning, we have something very different. Of course, normally, as Joel said, I have my pulpit up and we're, going through the Word. Last Sunday, we finished the Gospel of John. Yeah. Miracles do still happen. And I had several people come up to me and when he said, I didn't know what to do. I wanted to just clap when you said amen. And some people were actually stunned. Well, because also I did a whole chapter last week that was stunning. They were actually stunned. I had one sister tell me she just wanted to cry. Because, man, John is such a rich book and has so much. And we've grown, haven't we? If you've been with us through our study in John, I hope, like myself, you've really grown through the book of John and just how it's so rich. I mean, God's word is so rich. And so, as I said, in the new year, we're going to be starting the book of Psalms. Someone asked me, they calculated if I did one psalm a week, how long it would take. We're going to do select psalms, okay, just so you guys know. But we're going to spend next year in the Psalms, and we've got some vision that goes along with that. That ties into the week of prayer and, just a real vision on prayer and community and intimacy with the Lord. And so we'll be talking about that on the first Sunday of the year and looking forward to that. And of course, next week is our Christmas services. So, I really was praying about, Lord, what do you want me to do this Sunday? And I really felt like the Lord gave me a word for us. And so the title of the message this morning is The Necessity of Community. I want to talk with you this morning about the importance of biblical community. What is community? What does that look like? And I asked, the high schoolers to sit in with us this morning. So you guys want to welcome our high schoolers? Yeah. Yeah. Now we're ready. Now I've changed my whole message. No, just joking. I've got a word for you. We are blessed. I stumbled at that. We are blessed to have you guys certainly with us. And it's important because what I want to share this morning, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. This is a familiar verse to many of us. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And the author of Hebrews is writing to a community of people that understand community, and have left their community, and now, because of Christ, they left their Jewish community, in a sense, and they've gone within to a Jewish Christian community. It's not like they left their Jewish roots. They've just left the temple worship. They left the sacrifices. They see Jesus as a fulfillment of that. But they've been being persecuted, and now they're going back to their old community. And I think that relates to some of us. We had a community, and we might be tempted to go back to an old community. And so the author of Hebrews, the whole book is exhorting them to continue in the community God's called them to, the kingdom of God, the family. If you're with us this morning and at these holidays, you don't really like it as much because you might not have a lot of family, or the family you have isn't really a sweet community for you. I want to remind you that that's what the church is. We are a family. We are sons and daughters of God, and we are under his fatherhood in our lives, and we have an amazing community. And this is what the author of Hebrews says in verses 24 and 25, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see that day approaching." Let's just pray one more time. Father, we do just pray that you would speak to our hearts here this morning and that you would do your work in us. We want, Lord, to be, Lord, right in the dead center of your will. And we want to be, Lord, in a place where we're growing, where we're becoming more like Jesus. As the years roll on and another new year is around the corner, God, we pray that you would just fill our hearts, God, with a passion God, to be all that you've called us to be engaged in your body, to be a part of your kingdom, to live our lives for your glory and not waste, Lord, our lives, God, on ourselves. But let us live, Father, truly within biblical community, that we might be encouraged, we might grow, that we might have help along the way as we make our way to heaven. And God, we just praise you for the community that we have here at Saving Grace, the friends we have, the community that Lord, surrounds us when we struggle, when we go through things, and we just pray that you would be glorified. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, I love biographies. And one of the biographies that I've been reading, you know, lately is by a man. He's an Indian guy, grew up in a Sikh home. Sikhs, those that, you know, wear the turban, they never cut their hair. You find them often times in the, you know, in Asia. A lot of them are in India. They've come to our country. You might see them, and you know, we might call the turbans on their head, and you might think they're Muslim. They're not Muslim, and they're not Hindu. They're Sikhs. It's a branch from Hinduism, but started in the 14th century, and they're very devoted people. But one named Sundar Singh. Now, the word Singh, or the last name Singh, is actually the name that every Sikh will have. So if you see a Sikh, you can just say Singh, and they should respond, Mr. Singh. Sundar grew up in a home, and Jesus came to him. He was seeking truth. Jesus came to him in a vision. He grew up in the early 1900s, and he died, I think, in around 1929. He died pretty young, actually. But God worked through this man in amazing ways, used him to radically reach his country and countries beyond. He had a huge heart for the Tibetans, and he would hike the Himalayas, where we work today. We work in the foothills. He would literally hike. But the thing about Sundar is he would do it barefoot. I mean, it's pretty amazing when you think about it. You're talking about completely barefoot in the Himalayas, where there's snow and ice. And this guy, well, he was very different than you and I. I had our staff just go through the book, and my dad, Jack, who's part of our staff, he's like, I just wanted to go out in my shop and make the dude some, moccasins or something. I mean, put some shoes on. But, you know, one of the stories of his life really touched me. And, he was used to traveling, in the Himalayas, and very, very cold and very dangerous, very treacherous paths. And if you got caught in a blizzard, it was oftentimes would bring about death. And so what he did is, as he was traveling, he met a Tibetan man who was traveling. And so they traveled together that next day, and they got caught in one of those storms. It was really cold. The wind was really whipping. They were making their way down to a village that was probably just a few miles off, and they were making a descent from about 16,000 feet. The air was so thin that it was hard to breathe, and as they were making their way down, just a long kind of a cliff path, you have to go very slow and very careful. The weather changed, and it got very dangerous, and Sundar, in his mind, because he had traveled this road many times and had seen many travelers get caught in storms just like the one he was in, and had died out there, and he was thinking, is this the end? And just as he was thinking that, as he was carefully making his way along the cliff path, he looked down off the side of the path, and he saw something in the snow down there, something brown, and then it moved. One of the hands moved, and he realized it was a man down there. And he pulled on the clothes of the guy in front of him, the guy he was traveling with, this Tibetan man, and he says, there's someone down there, we need to save him. And the guy just looked at him and shook his head and said, no way. If we try to save him, we will all die here. The guy is as good as dead. We must keep going. And Sundar says, I can't just leave him here, and I need your help. I can't get him up this cliff without your help. And he says, if you value your life, you will keep going. And the guy just took off. And Sundar, without thinking about it, because it was the kind of guy he was, he climbed down that cliff. And carefully, as he talks about in his biography, how he made it down and he got to the man, and the man was barely breathing. And somehow Sundar put the man on his back, and he would travel with just really a blanket that he'd wrap around himself. And he'd travel with this blanket, and he put the blanket around the man, and he tied it on. And as he tied it on, he began to make his way up this cliff. And as he made his way up the cliff, he was making his way towards the village, not knowing, as the sun was starting to drop, as the weather was very bad, the visibility was bad, I don't know if we're going to make it. And of course, the traveler that he was with, you know, words are in his mind, like, if you try to save this guy, you're not going to make it. And just then it cleared up, just enough for him to peer into the distance, just enough for him to see. And as he peered into the distance, and what he saw was he saw that village, and just relief overwhelmed him. But that relief was short-lived, because as he looked down on the path there, it was his traveling companion who was there frozen to death in the snow. And he made his way to that village, knowing there was nothing he could do at that point for his friend. And as he made his way to that village, he comes into the little cabin there, and he's sitting in front of a fire, and he's sipping some tea, and he's warming himself, and he realizes the only reason he's alive is because he tried to save this other man. You see, it was the warmth of the other man's body that was on him that kept him warm enough to make it through that storm. And you know, that's how it is. And I'm reminded in that story of what community is like. It's, you know, a lot of times we think it's difficult. We think it's too much. We think actually it's going to kill me. But it's actually in saving In losing his life, in saving another, he saved his own life. You and I have so much to give. This is what the author of Hebrews is saying. He's saying, let us consider. The word consider is to pay attention to one another. And the idea here is let's stir up one another. Let's consider one another in order to stir them up for love and for good works. Let's consider one another. Let's consider what one another are going through. Let's consider one another's spiritual welfare. That's really what he's speaking about here. And we're to come together. We're to stir one another up. The word actually is the word to provoke. We're to provoke one another for love and good works. You know, us guys, we know how to provoke, but it's not necessarily in a good way. You know what I'm saying? And my wife's giving a hearty amen, because she's always kicking me and hitting me, like, shut up, stop it, don't do that, you're a pastor, you know. We give each other a hard time, but that's not the provoking. It's almost like a drawing. In fact, the word here to stir up could probably be best translated to inspire. That's what he's saying. Inspire one another on. Inspire one another onto to love, loving God, loving one another, loving your fellow man, and to good works, to live your life for the glory and for the honor and the praise of God, to live your life for God's kingdom and God's glory. And that's what gathering together, this idea of community, coming together, it is so valuable, it's so important that you and I live our lives in community. And the reason that I am sharing this morning is, of course, it's a truth in God's word. But you know, we're going into a new year. We're launching our life groups again. That's a great place to get started in community, is in our life groups, in people's lives. But you know, he goes on here to say, not forsaking, verse 25 there, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some. but exhorting one another daily while it's still called today. You know, we are to, be encouraging one another. We're not to be forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Why were the Hebrews forsaking the assembling, the gathering together? Because of persecution. If you go on in chapter 10 here, you'll see from verses 32 and on, he talks about how their goods were being plundered. They were, going away and being put into prison because of their new community. And so they were drawing back. And the whole book of Hebrews is about don't draw back, draw near. Don't draw back to the old. Things get in our way. Things come in our lives where we no longer value community like we once did, or like maybe we never have. So that's what I want to talk with us about this morning, the importance. I know this today, and I speak to you from someone who is very much a recluse. You've heard me say that before if you've been around. By nature, by personality, I'm very much a recluse. I'm very happy by myself. Now, I got to confess to you, when my house is completely silent and empty, a smile comes over my face. I'm just going to confess to you. I think that community is me and my books. Okay? That's not community, by the way. That's just my personality. Like, I think me going into a quiet office with bookcases filled with my brothers, like Spurgeon and Tozer, and Andrew Murray and Sundar Singh. These are my brothers. And we can have great fellowship with Jesus and together. But, and I was talking to a really good friend of mine this week. And we were just, catching up and chatting, and I asked him how his church is and, how things. He's pretty involved in his church. And he said, I got to confess to you, I haven't really been going to church. He's all, oh, we're still engaged. I'm watching it online. I mean, we've been so busy, and there's just been so much going on in our lives. I just haven't really, my wife and I, we're so tired. It's so nice from the comfort of your own home, I mean, we got to get ready and just all of that. And we just, he said, I'm confessing, when you're friends with a pastor, when you get together, you start like, okay. And when you start talking about not going to church, you got to be like, well, and I love what he said to me. He says, I know we should be rubbing elbows in the body. Now, here's a guy that in the past has been highly involved in men's ministry and small groups, and his church, is a large church but has a lot of small groups, and he is a part of the core of those small groups. And, his church is, it's on his street. But, just getting up, there's so many excuses we come up with. And, of course, I encouraged him, hey, man, you need to, well, you already told me what you need to do, so do it. You need to get back. We live in a day and age that it's very easy for us to just kind of get distracted, isn't it? And I want to ask you this morning, and I want to kind of do a little interview style. That's what I have these chairs up here. And we're going to just kind of have a conversation about community this morning. And I want to ask you, where's your priority? Where is coming, not just coming to church, that's step one. Of course, that's exactly what the scriptures are teaching here, that we come to church and we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Notice, as is the manner of some. That's a prophetic word in our day, isn't it? Many people. And I met another guy this week who I was chatting with, and I was sharing with, and he's like, well, I'm a believer, and he was telling me some churches he used to go to, and how he reads his Bible every day, and I'm thinking, well, that's probably better than most people that go to church if you're actually doing that. So that's commendable. That's wonderful. But, I don't really need church. My son was talking to someone else this week, and the same thing. It's like, I'm a believer. I read my Bible, but I don't see a need for church. There is this mindset out there. And again, this person that I was talking to told me, well, you know, I watch, you know, and I'm going to say it. He says, and I watch Joel Osteen. And, you know, right away I'm like, okay, yeah, there's a, you know, we need to talk. And we, of course, did. And I was just, you know, kindly and lovingly sharing with them the need for truth and for the Word of God. And, you know, there's stuff on the radio and TV. And listen, not all of it's good. Not all of it's good. A lot of it can be and is. I mean, there's some, I get fed a lot through, you know, podcasts and different Bible studies. I mean, my phone is downloaded with all kinds of great sermons, and I love it, and I am fed. But, and I know what it is to study the Word of God. I love to study the Word. It's not a job for me. It's a joy for me. It's an absolute blessing. My day off, if I could just study all day, I'd be happy. I'd be just the happiest person ever. You know, but there's something different about just studying the Bible and actually living the Bible out with others. And, you know, I want to thank my wife, who has literally dragged me into community, because someone needed to. Because I just inside of me, maybe some of you guys might relate, maybe even a couple of you gals might relate, inside of me, I just don't sense the need. I'm good. I'm happy. And, you know, I got my wife and my kids. I'm even happier. I'm great. I don't need it. But I have learned through the years how desperately I do. And it's only now, looking back in hindsight and seeing the community around me and in my life, to just think of where I'd be today without it. I don't even want to think about where I'd be without it. And so this morning, what I wanted to do is I wanted to invite up my wife and my son, Isaac. Now, you know, before you think, well, he just gets his family up there. Yeah, they are. They're my family. I know them. So I just happen to know that they are very much in their lives committed to community. I've been discipled by my wife in this area, and that might sound weird to some of you guys, discipled by your wife, but if your wife's not discipling you, there's something wrong, because we live life together. And she's not like, sit down, Trent, let me tell you, you know. It's living life together. I've watched my son, and I've watched him grow up under the tutelage of my wife and I, and watched really how he's embraced community. And how I've watched it, because I know a lot about this kid, okay? Been around his whole life. Watched how it shaped him and changed him and saved him from great, great pitfalls. And so I wanted kind of one of the young adults to be able to speak, and I thought you ladies would like to hear from a woman's point of view instead of just always a man's. You know, you get stuck in church with a man. So let me invite up Debbie and Isaac, and we're just going to have a conversation. So, hi guys.
Hi.
So this is very different. Let me just say that. I feel weird. I wanted to just tell you that. I'm a preacher. This is out of my wheelhouse. But, you know, I know, Debbie, that, you know, the Lord has just really used you. And I do want to publicly just thank you. Because I've, you know, I mean, how many times I just tell her, like, lay off me. And, you know, I do want to let you guys know that we're not this perfect family up here, okay? I mean, Debbie and I have had some major marital issues. You know, pastors are people. They have the, it's not like you go, a pastor just, like, you know, floats on a cloud in his marriage. I mean, no, actually, it's harder. I mean, you're getting hammered. And then where do you go? As a pastor, one of the biggest traps of a pastor is where do you go when you have problems? Because you're supposed to be perfect. Not that God has said that, but that's how people look at it. So community is very difficult for people in ministry. I can preach about it, but living it. Debbie's helped me to do that, and I want to thank you for that. And God's really, you know, blessed us deeply, you know, within community. And so I just kind of wanted to let you guys know that, you know, what we share is, look, we've struggled And this is how we've got there. Now with Isaac, Isaac and I have had a really tough relationship. He's a really tough kid. Yep. I'm perfect.
Getting amens from the back, Isaac.
Bruce.
Well, he's been there since before you were born. I could say a few things about Caleb, but we won't. I love Caleb. It's like another son to me. Yeah, Cook. I've got your number, too. And half of you guys back there, by the way. Isaac and I have literally fist fought. Isaac's very strong-willed growing up, just a jerk. Tough, tough kid. And I want to tell you, like, God wants me to grow and teaches me how to walk with him. I didn't think I was going to walk with him for a few times. Like, if I wasn't a parent, Debbie and I would say, you know, we were so godly before we became parents. I mean, what happened? I was so godly. Now I'm so carnal. So I just want to just let you guys know, listen, what we're sharing with you today is not, hey, look, we've arrived, because we're not even close, but hey, this is how we've survived. And this is how we've grown. And man, of course, as a pastor, and, you know, even Isaac now doing some ministry with the youth, and Debbie, you know, has been doing ministry alongside of me with couples and with singles for all these years. Listen, we've seen a lot of people get thrashed. We've seen a lot of people go through some really hard times and really flourish. And so we're coming from that point of view, and we're trying to pass that kind of wisdom on to you guys. So I hope you're blessed this morning. So Debbie, man, you're looking really pretty today. Okay. Yay, you're in our living room now. This is what I'm always saying, by the way. She's a babe. So tell us a little bit, maybe some introduction to community and what your thoughts are, and then we'll get into some questions.
Well, first of all, like, I've already almost cried like 5 times just thinking of where I would be without community in my life, and how many times, I'm going to cry. I think it's because Terry's here. It's making me cry. Old friend, she's been around forever. But anyways, I think, you know, if I didn't have community, I would have given up. Mm-hmm. We both would have given up. But if we didn't have people speaking into our life the day we came to people in our community and said, we're done, we're not going to do this anymore, and we believe God is telling us to let the church go, and they looked at us and said, that's demonic. We have thoughts that are not from the Lord, you guys. Like, if we don't have people that we're bouncing off our brain to, we're going to believe really weird things. And so we have to have community. It's, you know, I wrote down, you know, God's designed community to keep us safe and growing. That's his design. So if you want to be a person that celebrates God's design, if you want the most for your life, if you want to be the most satisfied, on fire, living for Jesus Christian in the world, you need community. You have to be with other believers. That's how God designed it. That we'd be joined and knit together. His design is that we'd be knit together. So when we're not knit together, then we're not experiencing all that God has for us. We're experiencing just a little teeny part of it. And when I think about being together in community, I'm not saying like we're hanging out and just eating at the bros feast. But hopefully at the bros feast on Friday night, you guys were also exchanging prayer requests and talking about your kids and your marriages and your workplace. And you're asking people, how are you? And that's the kind of community that, for me, Trent and I are different people because we've had community. And not all pastor and pastor's wives have that. It's a very hard thing to have, but we've had it. And we've been super blessed with awesome, awesome community. And it's kept us safe, mm-hmm. and it's caused us to be the people we are today. We would not be who we are and where we are without community.
And when we say community, we're talking about other people in our life that we're being real with, honest with, and they're speaking into our lives because, you know, we have blind spots. Yeah, I mean, you always tell me I have blind spots.
Yeah, it's true.
She's like, That's a blind spot. You don't even see it. What are you talking about? Leave me alone. You know? And it's those other guys that are able to speak into my life. And, you know, it's really powerful. Isaac, do you have any kind of just opening thought, and then we'll get into some questions on community from, like, your standpoint and representing kind of some singles here this morning? And
I wouldn't be here without my community. I grew up, you know, very rebellious, strong-willed, had a lot of issues with anger and stuff growing up until I was probably about 15 years old. And, I mean, obviously they're still around, but, I mean, very strongly, like, a stronghold on me for a long time. And without the community I had, I would have not stayed around. I would not be here. I would not have avoided a lot of bad situations. You know, I think of, and I was sharing this in the first service, I think of Solomon's son in 2 Kings. Solomon's son in 2 Kings, and how he had this issue that came to him about the taxes, the high taxes in Israel, and he went to the elders and the wise people that mentored and helped his dad, and he asked them. They said, "Yeah, you should lower the taxes." And then he went to his buddies, and they said, "You should be stronger with them." And he decided to go with his young buddies, and ended up dividing the kingdom because he went with what his young friends were telling him. So I've been blessed because growing up, I've had a lot of people speak into my life since a very, very young age. I've had people just walk me through life and been there with me, and I would not be here without that. And, you know, as a kid, you're screaming, "Help, I need wisdom, help me," without saying those words. Was saying, "Get away from me," and
yeah,
I don't want to talk to you.
Because the older people are thinking, do they really want to
know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, exactly. And they're just like, "We hate you, mom and dad," and blah, 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 whatever. And I'm screaming inside, "Please help. You know, I need wisdom. I need help." And that you know, for me was a blessing that people stuck with me through it.
And so, you know, and that has a lot to do, and I speak to the adults and the parents. It has a lot to do with our community. See, my community became Isaac's community. So the men I hung out with were the men that well, first of all, I felt very safe when Isaac wasn't listening to me. You know, they say, "Hey, could I take Isaac out to lunch?" Please. Yes. You know, that's awesome. And I'm just safe because it's a safe community. So that's our job, to build that community. And that's what I mean by biblical community. It's not just some bros, you know, who knows what they're going to. I mean, there are some people that are family members, extended family members, that I wouldn't want Isaac to get counsel from. You know, that's not a community I got to choose on. That's family, that you just get them. You know, "Hey, you should just have a beer. Fix everything." But you know, that I'm able to have those guys that are speaking into my life, and they're with me through life, so they know my son, they know my kids, they know my wife. We live life together. That at those crossroads, they're able to come and cross over and speak, and there's trust. See, that's the church, that's the body of Christ, and that's what so many Christians today are missing out on. They don't have that. And what we want to say this morning is that's available for you, but you have to put yourself into it. No one can force you. Trust me, Debbie's tried to drag me in. I had to be submissive and willing to come. You have to, and if you're a single this morning here, you know, you have to realize that, listen, you've got, and if you're a young single here this morning, like Isaac's age, I mean, you've got your life ahead of you. You have incredible people around you. You ought to be seeking them out. You know, this concept today that we have in America, that the older you get, the stupider you are, is clearly unbiblical. Not just like some old person saying, you know, "You should listen to me. I've kind of lived that." And you younger people look at them like they don't know. Really? They might not know how to work an iPhone like you can. You know what I'm saying? But wait a second. Just use your common sense and logic. They know what it's like to be your age. You think they never were? You think they were always the age they are? You think I always had gray hair? Hey, I earned my gray hair. I used to have hair like Nathaniel's, okay? I earned my gray hair. You know, to respect the elderly, and they're called elders, not because they're in an old folks home, but because they're wiser. That's why in the Bible, those that lead the church are the elders that are leading, because they're wiser. So the word to you guys is, man, cling on to them. Go hang it. And we've got some incredible people in our fellowship that would have you over their house and have time for you and would love on you and listen to you and invest in you. Listen to them. Listen to them. You know, and for the older, for us elders, let's not despise the youth, because they're completely different than us. And that's why I had Isaac up here. I mean, the world they grew up in and the world that you grew up in, no, it was nothing. There's no similarities. You know, my buddy Greg Sloan back there, the way he grew up, and, you know, the way that one of our young adults here has grown up, they are totally different worlds, mindset, the way they think. So, you know, Greg, I'm going to pick on Greg for a minute because he's my good friend. He's one of the elders of our church. And, you know, so Greg, I mean, he grew up, he's a Marine. I mean, you want to talk about, you know, just handshake, men, everything. And he expects them, and I'm not saying he does, because he's awesome, by the way, kids. Go hang out with Greg and Ricky. You'll be blessed. I know Isaac has. You know, but we expect the kids to be where we are. But that's not right. We want to help bring them to that place. And remember all the mistakes we made when we were their age. But we need to invest in each other. It needs to be, you know, we need to come up to the old. We need to go down to the young. So that's community, and that's my passion. And that's something about our life groups, you know, that's really awesome. So Isaac, you know, you're involved in a life group. And is it all kids your age?
No. I go to the Wilkinson's life group, best life group ever.
Yeah.
It's the only Tuesday night one. We do youth Wednesday night, so I go to Tuesday night, and it's young parents with kids. It's older people with no kids, and there's older people with other kids, and young adults, and all different ages. And so we all get together, and it's a lot of fun. I love kids, so I like hanging out with the little ones. But but just to receive from the older people around.
And
around
when he's
me.
Saying older, he's saying David Wilkinson. So. Yeah. Joel Garcia, yeah. He's 31.
Yeah.
You know? So, anyways, did you have something to say, babe?
Oh well, first service we were talking about as from a women's perspective.
Yeah.
And having your husband involved in community and all that. So I know for me as a young mom, I loved to be able to be in a community where I could talk to other young moms, because. Like, I was crazy. I had 4 kids in 5 years, and I think I had, like, a quarter of my brain, and I wasn't sleeping. And I remember saying things in the middle of that community in Bible study, and everybody else was looking at me going, oh, yeah, that happened to me, or my kid did the same thing, or whatever. And you just, it normalizes you. You know what I mean? It makes you feel like not an alien, because I think I felt like an alien a lot. Like, am I normal? Is this normal? And so you just don't, if you will not know unless you're with people and you ask them, otherwise you feel isolated and you feel like you're the only one that goes through these things. Like did your kid throw the cup down at the restaurant 47 times? Like, yes, you know, and like, really, so did my, you know, and then you just feel like, okay, that's normal. Not that I want to train that, but I felt like I wasn't, you know, crazy.
Like that you weren't.
The only one.
Yeah, and you weren't failing.
I wasn't failing. I wasn't a loser. I wasn't like abnormal, like, oh, something is wrong with you.
Because that's what the enemy wants to say, quit, give up. You're
you have
and
issues.
Everyone in church as we come and worship is like awesome, right? And I'm the only one here that's got issues. And everyone's feeling the same way. And look, you're thinking that, they're looking at you like, oh, you have an awesome marriage. And you're like, if you only knew. And they're like, I'm about to, you know, mine's falling apart. And you know, and that's what community does, is it gets outside of kind of with the plastic Christianity. Mm-hmm. And of course, we're coming as sinners. We're coming to hear the word of God. Of course, we want to be godly. But it's those small groups that create that and discipleship. And now it's not just, okay, we all sympathize that we're all a bunch of losers. Mm-hmm. But it's like, where can we go? Who's Jesus? How does Jesus lead us through this? And we walk with Jesus together through that. and we don't go off on our own, because a man who isolates himself is not wise, and mm-hmm. the Proverbs talk about it, mm-hmm. you know, and there's an isolation that we just kind of, because we feel like, and I actually talked to some people this week, and I think these were divine appointments just to even be able to share this, that said, I'm almost ready to come to church. And what they were saying is I'm almost good enough. Like they're trying to get to a place where they feel like they're going to be good enough, and then they can. And I said, you will never be. And that's not God. That's such a twisted thought of what the body of Christ is. Like when you're good, you can come. When you suck, don't come. Well, and that's why maybe we don't come. And we isolate, and we get, the enemy's lying. He's just lying to us. And we need to come and be honest and desire holiness and desire to grow, but to do that together and to move that way. And so it's a lifesaver for us to be here together and to be open and to be honest. Because again, you can go to church faithfully and not live in community. You go to church and then you come home and you do your thing and you go to church. The early church met daily, and I'm not, you know, putting a trip on us saying you got to be in some church event every day, but they were in community every day. Are you? And community starts in your household. Community starts with friends. Community starts with, you know, church. Of course, where's our priority? And again, we live in a different culture, and it's really busy and kind of crazy and scattered and chaotic, and we sometimes just don't realize. Wait. I'm not really, like, if I'm going to really be honest, I'm not really living in community. I ask you this morning. Is there a person in your life of the same sex that you can share anything with and do? And they're helping you, and they're giving you biblical counsel. They're guiding you through truth. If you say, no, I don't really have that, and most of us would be like, man, that would be awesome. It's available for you. You need to pray, and you need to get engaged, and God's going to bring them. God's going to bring them.
I remember when, you know, just being a young Christian and not having any friends, like any Christian friends. Maybe you're new to this community. Maybe you're new to the idea of community. Pray. Ask God. Give me a friend. Give me somebody that I can trust and that I can talk to. You know, like, again, back to, like, the idea that this is God's design. You will not fulfill you will not experience the fullness of what God has for you until you live within community. That's mm-hmm. just truth. That is God's truth. And so, you know, when the verse that Trent's talking about in Hebrews about stirring up love and good works, I mean, I think about how inspired, I don't know, I get inspired when I listen about Sundar Singh. I get inspired about, but when I'm sitting next to a sister that said, oh, last week I went through this really hard thing and I prayed and God did this in my life, that inspires me to do the same thing. When I talk to another brother who says, oh, I shared the gospel with my neighbor and the Lord saved him and now he's in church and community, then that inspires me to do that too. So when you're living with each other and rubbing shoulders with each other, you're inspired also. You're pushed on to do those things that God has called you to do. And you're challenged in the body of Christ. And you're also forced, and we talked about this first service, forced to get along, which chips off ugly parts of you and helps you be more loving and kind and forgiving. And so when you're in community and you stay and are committed to your community, you learn how to die to self and to love others regardless of what's going on, and to give of yourself. And you learn so much, and you can't learn those things. That's how God designed apart from community. Right. You have to be in community to learn those things.
And you know, unfortunately today in our culture and in the church, there's just this idea, like, if you've got a problem, and this is just the church culture today, just go to another church. The problem with that is you keep breaking your community. And you might have had friends, you know, and now they're really, well, you don't see, you're still friends, you don't hate them. But you're not in community with them because you can't live life together. And so we see this cycle. And let me just say this, that affects our kids. That affects our kids greatly. One of the greatest things that my kids have is they've grown up in community. Now listen, in that community they've grown up in, they've been hurt by that community. They've been confused by that community. There have been people that were in their community are no longer in their community, and that's hard. I mean, I can't even think of how many friends Isaac had as a little guy that were his best friends were over all the time, and then all of a sudden they got burned on the church, and they took off. And now for Isaac, he's like, and all my kids, what did I do? Like, why is it that they don't like me? You know, and there's a sweetness mm-hmm. there that we grow together, and we experience God's heart, and we learn how to work out our issues, and that's what's going to make them responsible adults. And listen, that will affect, and you know, you high schoolers and college age, you listen, because that's going to affect your marriage. You might not be thinking of marriage. Some of you might be, you know, but that's going to affect how do you work out issues in marriage? Because your guys' you know, world is, well, I just defriend the person or unfollow them or however you say it, you know, but that doesn't work in real life. That doesn't work in marriage. And so this is, and look, we've seen this, and I know it in the counseling office. And they don't know how to talk anymore. They don't know how to work through things. Because in the old days, we just stayed. We didn't hop around. We stayed. We stayed in relationship. We worked through issues. And that's hard. And so we want to do the easy thing. Just run. But that's not never God's design. Never God's design. So, you know, I just wanted to close with kind of a vision that we have for the new year. And that vision is that on the last Sunday of the month, starting in January, we want to do what we call a youth takeover. You guys listening? Okay, you guys, are you off your phones? Hey, if anyone's on their phone, hit them. Okay, Hannah? I saw it with your look of conviction. Okay, get off your phone. We want to do... we want to give you guys an opportunity to serve the Lord and to be raised up. And so what we want to do is we want to engage the church and have you guys that morning not have youth group. Because there's a problem. There's a problem when you go to your youth group. And listen, it's not your problem. It's our problem as leaders and adults. You go to your youth group. You hang out with your friends. You leave. Then you get out of high school. And you go like, I'm not allowed in the youth group. I'm supposed to go upstairs. Like, that's a weird place up there. You know, I thought Mike taught a long time. Wow. Yeah. Because you have no community. Your community, it's like your community just went away. And so what we need to do is we need to engage you into the community and in God's kingdom. Okay? And to let you guys serve. So we want you guys to be in ushers and part of the worship ministry. And of course, you're already doing some of that, but that morning we're just going to do a takeover. Now, I say this to them, but
Isaac's been wanting to take over for years.
Yeah, well, Isaac's not taking over. I say this to them, but I say this to us. Like, as adults, we've got to have a vision. How many of us are investing in them? How many of them have a community in ours? How many of us welcome them? Because to welcome them in means you're going to have to deal with their culture and their phones and their stuff. And
hanging out together on the couch playing video games, right. And that's their community.
Yeah. So that's why Mike works great. He grunts and does whatever you do over there. But you've ministered to Isaac. Thank you, Mike, and all my kids. Aaron, actually. Thank you. But you know... We want to see that it's not like theirs and ours mentality, downstairs and upstairs. You know, we've got to be a body, and we've got to embrace. And, you know, I just kind of, Isaac, you know, maybe you could speak to the importance that has been, because I haven't seen you have a problem transitioning, but that's because you were in a very strong community outside of the youth group when you were coming up.
Yeah, and part of that is, you know, I always encourage the youth kids when I teach to get involved, to do something, to be a part of something. And that's what I try to do. You know, I wanted to get involved anyway. It was, you know, I started teaching the youth when I was 16, and Started doing worship, and I got forced to doing worship by my old youth pastor, Chad Bishop, because I was the only one who knew how to play guitar. And so I was 14 years old, and, like, leading worship. I was scared of my mind. And you just get pushed into those things, but I needed that. And that's okay. And we have this idea, like, I don't know, like, we don't want to offend or something like that, or we don't want to, I don't know what it is. But it's good to be forced to do something a couple times, you know, just to get involved and to be pushed that way and to do that and in a loving way and stuff. And so, I mean, me growing up, I had a great community. When I was in high school, I struggled with a lot of different things. And, you know, I was walking away from the Lord. And when I was walking away, I knew exactly where to go when I wanted to come back. I went back to my community. I didn't go to my friends. I didn't go to my worldly friends. I went back to my Christian believers. You know, that was Pastor Mike. That was Joel, that was, you know, other people in our church. You know, as me, it's hard for me sometimes, you know, like, you guys can just go to my dad as Pastor Trent, but he's also my dad. And so it was hard for me sometimes as a kid to want to do that. So I was blessed to have other people that I can go to as well, you know, as, you know, someone I can go to and talk to and have a good conversation with like that, apart from my parents, you know. And that's a real thing that really helped me. I wanted to just talk to the young adults real quick, too, and the youth real quick. Just want to share scripture real quick and talk about that. In Daniel chapter 2, it's when Nebuchadnezzar has his dream, and the chief captain of the guard comes up to Daniel and tells him that this king has a dream. He's killing all the magicians and sorcerers and wise men and stuff like that in the land. And so he asked Daniel to see if he could try to do something. And so Daniel said in verse 16, he says, so Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel and his companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. He went to his close friends. He went to those people that are around him. We need, you know, even the youth kids and the young adults, everyone, we need someone that's our age, that's going through the same things we are, to go to have believers that we can just come to and run to at any time of need. And that's what saved me. I would not be here without that. You know, I would not be out here without those people in my life. You know, I have, and I can brag about him because I couldn't do it in first service, but he's teaching junior high right now. My buddy Michael Anderson just rebukes me at such the right time. So good. So many times, and it's just so needed of different things, and we need that. We need to have openness and vulnerability and stuff. And to you parents of kids, you have to have a conviction to bring them here, because if my parents didn't have that, I wouldn't be here. And you can see growing up, I think, I mean, from my year and the years I was in high school, I think me and Daniel are the only ones that are here from that. I don't, could be wrong, but, you know, that's, most of our youth are not here anymore, you know, and that comes from us having the conviction of, I'm going to bring him here every Sunday without fail, not as a legalistic thing, but because you have a conviction from God that they need to be a part of community. They need to be here for these things. They need to hang out with their Christian friends. They need, you have to have that conviction. And again, they may hate you for sometimes. What you're got it. The Lord is gonna lead you, and the Lord's gonna show you that. And you know, the kids that have that will come back around if they fall away. And we see that happen so often. And they're crying out for help, and they need it. And they they really need it. And we need people to help.
Yeah, remember, like, this is safety. You know, like I said, it's safety. It keeps us safe. There's so many proverbs that talk to us about not isolating ourselves, that it makes us vulnerable. I always think of, like, the wolf. When he's prowling around, he looks for the weak outsider. Always the weak outsider. The people who are plugged in and encouraged and have community people around them, that's not who he targets. He targets the weak, the outsider who's kind of by themselves, a lone Christian, who's stumbling along the way. That's who the wolf goes out after and kills. So being in community is safety.
Yeah. Yep. Amen. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
You know, and I just want to encourage the men this morning, wherever you might be, because our tendency is definitely to just, you know, you don't ask anyone for help. I mean, that's part of being a man in our culture. And it's important for us to reach out. It's important for us to make ourselves vulnerable, because if we don't, it's not going to happen. But I want to tell you, and you guys know that have been around, I have some guys in my life that have been in my life for a long time. And, you know, you guys hear me pick on Bruce a lot. That's because Bruce and I have been together before we were married. Bruce and I aren't married, but before we were married. Yeah. I'm looking at Caleb just to see if I get it. No, he's sleeping. You know, but just, and you know, we're able to speak into each other's lives, and we've got other, I've got other guys, of course, Pastor Easy, Pastor Mark Spence, who was sharing with the guys. Those of you that were at the Bros Feast, I mean, imagine he's your accountability partner. Those of you guys who were there, I mean, he had a pretty hard word. But, like, they could say, dude, no, that's wrong. And we need that, guys. But I know they love me. And I you know, I don't have to get all prideful. I mean, I have. And then you got to repent. You know, you got to, the Lord's like, you're just prideful. Okay, I'm prideful. And you go back to him. But those kind of relationships, like, if you don't have that kind of relationship as a man, like, that's available for you. Don't make any more excuses. You can have that kind of relationship. Yeah, it takes time, but it takes time to stay in a community, and it takes time to grow. But you got to be involved. You can't just, like, show up, like, twice a month to church and think it's going to happen. And so where's our priority? And that's where I leave us. Where's our priority? Is our priority, is our spiritual, biblical conviction? I need community. And to realize that also I have gifts to give. And so, like, we started with a story of Sundar Singh. He said, I'm going to save this guy's life. In saving the guy's life, he saved his own life, not knowing it. In us saying, you know what, I'm going to go save that guy's life. I'm going to go get into that guy's life. He looks like he's alone. You don't know it, but you're going to save your own life because you need him as much as he might need you. And of course, I say this to the men because the women typically do this well. And those of you that are married probably have, you know, a wife that's saying, yeah, go do that. And, you know, but you're like, I'm fine. I'm good. I have a good time. I got to, you know, make money. I got to work. I got, you know, just leave me alone. Get off my back. And just realize God brought you that woman into your life because you need her. And she needs you, but she needs you at full strength. And those men that God's brought into your life, you need them. And they need you. Make no mistake about it. Because we cannot do it on our own. We need the body of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your grace, and we just ask that you would pour out your Spirit as we go into the new year. That, God, you would help us, Lord, to recognize our desperate need, God, for you. And we pray, God, that you would be lifted on high, Lord, to protect us of our arrogance and our pride and thinking, Lord, we've got it all together, or knowing we don't, but we don't want anyone else to know. Help us just to humble ourselves and just allow your Spirit to work in us. We thank you, Father, and we praise you, and we worship you. We just ask you to do a work. Bless, Lord, the food, Lord, that's being prepared as a barbecue after we dismiss here. Bless that. Bless our fellowship even there. Lord, that's why we do it, so that we could be in community. And just bless, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.